Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Amy here. I just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee, you ask? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, or at our blog, which is www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Bianca. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast. Well, we're all living la vida lockdown. But now we're free.
Again.
Yay!
Yay.
Again. Yes. Yeah. For the fifth time. Yeah, so we take aim at one topic each week, along with a bottle or three of wine or whatever we have in the house, and we try to make some sense of it. So, ladies, what are we all drinking tonight?
Well, tonight I lucky dipped into my wine box. it was really a lucky dip.
Who are you, me?
Yeah, I did not know what was in that box, so I just went, lucky dip, this one. And it was Brown Brothers Moscato and Sav.
I've got what's in the box in my head now. What's in the box today?
Drugs. Oh, it's always God. Drugs. Drugs are
yeah. Awesome. I am drinking a Boy Meets Girl Cab Mill because cold. Freezing, in fact. So yeah. I'm all snuggly here in my little dressing gown, and then I get my glass, well, that, I suppose, of red wine. There's half a bottle in this glass, so yeah. I'm looking at getting toasty. Someone wake me up when it's time for my segment. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. What am I drinking?
yeah.
I'm drinking.
Annie's Lane, Cab Merlot. It's from Adelaide. It's very nice. It's very, very nice. And yes, because it's cold, got to have a Cab Merlot. Like
Cab Merlot, friend.
Yeah.
Nice.
Poor friend. So, friend, what is our topic for tonight?
Well, our topic for tonight.
She really wants to carry on with it, but she hates the show that we're referring to, so she refuses. She will not do it, although she wants to join in the shenanigans. But she refuses.
I refuse. So tonight's topic is haunted houses.
Yes.
Oh, haunted house.
Yeah. So I think I chose this topic. I put this topic in the list. I can't remember. But I'm super excited.
Yes.
Although, yeah, we've been really busy at work and I've had really no time to research. And so it may get a little dodgy, people. It may get a little dodgy.
I'm so looking forward to getting dodgy.
Yeah.
The more dodgy it gets, the better it is. Yeah. So bring on the dodgy.
I did dictate this into my phone for the writing. And so let's see how fucked up we get.
All right.
Yeah. So there's, I don't even know. See, I've already lost where I fucking was. So I know. What is a haunted house? Well, yes, clearly it is a house that is haunted. Spirits are fucking living there. Come on, people. It's not hard. It's fucking haunted house. It's in the
Thank you, title. Captain Obvious.
Yeah. So there are different types of ghosts. Yeah, already I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes. Yep, that's great.
I really have no idea what that's meant to be honest.
Yeah.
So there are ghosts, there are hauntings, there are possessions, there's fucking all sorts of shit. So if you look into some of them, like you've got your vortex ghost, and it looks like a vortex pretty much, people. It's a fucking swirly black hole. And a lot of people believe it's like a gateway or, you know, like their own personal little Uber, helping them get from the afterlife into your house to visit.
Okay.
It's just them visiting, and the vortex is their Uber.
So they can wander in and out, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Right. Pretty much. Yeah.
They're not stuck there 24 hours a day, because that sounds like my idea of hell.
Yeah, nah. They go off and they visit other places too, because, you know, what else do they have to do?
It's not like they have a job. Come on.
Yeah. Then you have, like, yeah, ectoplasm or ectomist, which is the swirly mist that you see.
Yep.
And you're like, ooh, what the fuck? Swirly. Scary. You know? I don't know. I don't get kind of freaked out by those things, so I'm assuming that's how people react.
Ooh. Can't say I've seen ectomist or swirly anything, so, yeah. I'll tell you when I see it, yeah.
Yeah. So these may sometimes turn into full apparition, but then again, they could just poof and disappear. Then you have the orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, orbs are one of the most commonly seen, I believe, or, you know, most commonly thought that they've seen. So they're just like, you know, you floating round bits that kind of waft past.
Like a ball of light kind of deal.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Sometimes people think they've caught orbs on camera.
But it turns out it's
just dust. Yeah. It depends on how they move. Like, if it moves around, like it's going to the right and then suddenly just goes left and up and down, it probably not dust.
Probably not dust.
Or it is dust and it's windy.
You can kind of see. You can see the dust particles in the orb if you've got it on footage. You can actually see the dust particles if you look real closely. Mm. Then you have your I don't even know where I'm at. I'm just going to wing this. Then you have your interactive ghosts. They're the ones that like to touch and try to talk to you.
Yep.
They're just your friendly little, hey, I'm here. Can you see me? Can you feel this? I'm lonely. I've been dead for centuries. Talk to me.
I'm bored.
Yeah. But then you've got poltergeist.
Yeah.
Meaning, with the German word, noisy ghost.
Yeah.
Now, these are the ones that definitely make it known that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So they will move shit, slam doors, break windows, punch you in the face just for the fun of it. I'm pretty sure they actually don't do that, but hey, it's fun. So they're the ones that really make it known.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going to move into my topic.
Okay.
Now, I'm doing the Ancient Ram Inn. Now, this one I've known about for a while because I watched Most Haunted and they did this in on there. Yeah. It's been done by numerous ones.
If you don't know what Most Haunted is, go back to our Trash TV episode and Sarah will explain.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to put up in our chat, and I'll put this on the blog. It's just going to be little pictures so you can actually see what I'm talking about.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to the chat now. Oh, yeah, I'm going there.
Can you chuck in the photo sheet?
Yeah, I'll try that. So the Ancient Ram Inn is one of the most haunted places in England. It's also really old. So that's the back of it.
Oh, it's cute. It's
like soup's adorable.
It's soup slanty, though.
They're old.
They were a bit like that back then.
They all like a slanty shanty.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I'd be a bit concerned, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's the other side of it. So it's one of the oldest buildings in Wotton-under-Edge, a small village less than an hour from Bristol.
Bristol.
I hope I said that correctly. If I didn't, too bad. No, I'm not trying again. So this unique house has quite a history. So before the building was even constructed in 19, fucking Sarah, learn to read, in 1145, it was actually the site of a multi-millennia pagan burial ground.
Oh, so it's already cursed.
Yeah, we all love an ancient burial ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the burial ground also lies on ley lines, which trace directly back to Stonehenge.
What's a ley line?
So it's
a direct link, a spiritual link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, a paranormal pathway.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Mm.
And this is directly connected to Stonehenge.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There are many Stonehenge. I mean, Stonehenge is the most popular one.
Yeah.
But there are many of those all over England, and they're all linked.
Yeah.
There's some towns that are built or like fully around this, you know, they're part of the town. Like some of the stones are in houses. And they're just like, we can't move the stone, so it's just going to become part of my wall now because I want my house here. Yeah.
Also, it probably gives you better, you know, phone signal because I believe that's what Stonehenge was. It's just like a giant telephone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my theory. Stick them in. So the inn was originally built to house slaves, masons, and other workers who were working on the St. Mary's Church nearby. They say that the streams on the ground, like, you know, actual streams on the ground, had to be diverted around the church, which kind of messed with the flow of the energy around the place.
Yeah.
Kind of opened up the portals for dark energy that was once used in the pagan rituals in the area.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with the ghost river. Got it.
Yep. Yeah. So when the workers moved out because it was finished, it became the house for the priest.
Oh, the spirits wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
So pagan spirits really going to be real pissed off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, because, I mean, what's St. Mary's? Is it Catholic or Christian? I mean, they're both just as bad towards the pagans, but yeah. Generally Christians weren't so bad as the Catholics were real bad, and yeah.
Well,
if it's a Catholic priest, well, oh my God.
Well, not only that, but bishops were also living there as well. But once the new home for the priests of the church was built, the inn was then turned into a public house.
A pub.
So, yeah, a pub. It was turned into a pub. So it was a pub for many years. And then in 1968, someone new bought the inn and made it his home. So John Hampshire has preserved the inn from decay and destruction over the years.
Okay.
So on the first night, I love this, on the first night he stayed in his new house, he says he met with one of the spirits of the inn, one of the ones that make it so famous. He claims that the demonic force grabbed his arm and dragged him across the room from his bed.
Oh, God, no, no.
Yeah. He went, no, that's fine. I'm staying here. This is now my house.
Mm.
Yeah, fight me. It's my pub. House. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
Fight me.
So since then, he has found, like, he's met most of the spirits, and he's found evidence of devil worship and ritual sacrifice on the inn's grounds. He also came across skeletal remains of children he believed were stabbed with daggers. So they could have been like sacrificial children as part of some form of pagan ritual or something.
Did he call the police? Like, were the police involved or did he just say he found this shit?
No, he would have called.
I would have hoped so, because you're just making the random claims that there's, you know, dead stabbed children in your back garden. I mean, you probably should call the cops.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure, considering how many people he has coming in doing investigations. Pretty sure he's had police and that in there. So even though the spirits didn't discourage him from living in the house, I mean, personally, I would feel a little bit funny about this.
I'd have sage burning like 24/7.
I mean, you've got witches and incubus and succubi living in your house.
Well, witches don't bother me. Succubi definitely.
And bishops.
And bishops, most definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I sage the shit out of that place just after they left.
I'm still not past the sacrificial children in the garden, so. Well, that, you know.
Yeah, but that's a burial ground. I mean, come on.
You've had to be pagans, though. I mean, that's all lies built by the Catholic Church, so, yeah.
Anyway, his wife and daughter actually left. They went, nah, we're fucking out.
Okay.
Later. Yeah. So. He lived there for over 50 years.
I see.
And, yeah. And he passed away, actually, in 2017.
Oh, so he,
yeah. So I believe his daughter now is looking after the house. I don't know how she feels about all of that. So the spirits that dwell in the house. So there are apparently several entities apparently living there. One of the most famous is the witch who was burnt at the stake during the 1500s, which is the peak of the witch trials.
Yeah.
So she apparently escaped from the witch hunters and fled to the inn to hide.
Yeah, well, that's why I would be no good as an ancient witch, because I'd hide in the pub too. They'd find me in 5 seconds.
Exactly. They found her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she was burnt at the stake, and then...
It's probably one of your relatives, mate.
Oh, Jessie's, mate.
So her spirit is said to dwell in one room, which is now called the witch's room. It's also believed that children who were murdered during the ritual sacrifices and exorcisms, apparently there was exorcism there as well, still dwell in the inn. Also, the former innkeeper, when it was actually a pub, his daughter apparently committed suicide by hanging herself in the attic.
Oh.
And it said that she's still dwelling there.
To quote a previous episode, see, this is the reason why I was already out. As soon as you said children dead in the garden, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because live children are bad. Oh. Dead kids are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So not,
I'm out. Just standing in the hole. Play with me. I'll fucking knock Chuck Norris you across the fucking room.
Dead kid. Hey, to quote a previous episode, dead kids are the worst. I'm out.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently they do have photos of orbs and stuff. So,
yep.
So, apparently there's also bishops or priests. So, the bishop's room is considered one of the most haunted. And that's from the time where, you know, you had all the holy men staying there. I take it a few of them may have died there. I don't know. Or... I don't know, maybe they just liked living there, so they've come back.
Well, I mean, if they're doing exorcisms back then, they were quite strenuous on both the person being excised and the person excising. So, I mean, they could have died during the exorcism. That happened a lot.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me that a few died there.
There's even said that there's like a dark monk and that lived there. Also... The ghost of a Roman centurion has apparently appeared on horseback, riding through the walls.
Oh,
just wandering around. He's just like, oh, yeah, I like this joint.
Yeah. So a couple of plumbers that were just minding their own business, doing their job, plumbing some shit.
plumbers be plumbing. Plumbers be plumbing.
And then all of a sudden, there's a freaking centurion on a horse coming at them. What the fuck?
It could have been an old, like, before the house was there, it could have been a road to Rome. Like, I mean, all roads lead there anyway. But, yeah, it could have been an old passion.
Many Romans invaded,
They could have hit the sewer line or something like that when they were plumbing, and they were all fucking tripping balls, too.
Could have been a natural gas under the ground. Could have been.
So what I absolutely found fucking fascinating was John picked his bedroom.
Yeah.
He went, this is the bedroom I would like to sleep in. And I'm going to change my mind. I imagine
there was like many because it's an inn. So he would have had many to choose from. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if he knew it before he picked it or just went, I really like this room. It's now mine. But he chose to sleep in the quarters that contained... The incubus and succubus.
Can you explain to me again what those two things are? Yes. I know what a succubus is, but I can't remember what an incubus is.
An incubus.
Aside from a band, yeah. I don't
know. Yeah.
So an incubus is a evil male spirit who has, like, kind of sexually molests women while they sleep.
Right.
Yeah. So he gets very handsy while you sleep. And a succubus is pretty much the vice versa. It's a woman that seduces men while they sleep.
Right. Also, succubus can transform themselves. Generally, they transform from being a woman to a cat. Generally, sometimes it's other animals, but as a general thing, most of the time it's either a woman or a cat. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, look, he may have known that that was the room that contained those spirits. He was lonely. His wife left him. Maybe he just wanted some company. I don't know. But, yeah, he needed that bit of extra attention.
Yeah.
Who knows? No.
As long as everybody's consenting, it's fine.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
This consent, it's all good. So, as I said earlier, the daughter now runs the inn, Caroline Hapsphere.
And so, is it still a pub or?
No. So, it was after John bought it, he turned it into a home.
Yeah. And then she obviously hated living there because her and her mum bailed. Did she turn it back into a pub or?
So, she's kept it as a house, but that's visitors cool. can stay there. So, kind of a bit like an inn, like a hotel B&B. Kind of thing. Yeah, a special one. I don't know. Yeah. But she does keep it open for, you know, people to come in, do their scientific research and studies because the house has a lot of history.
Yeah.
So you can still stay there by booking.
I would.
I'd stay there, just not in that.
That's on my list now.
Just not in that one bedroom where I don't want people touching me while I sleep.
Yeah, I could probably deal with not having that in my life. Yeah.
I sleep like a log. There is none. I'd wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm naked. Did I?
I probably take bed like this.
Yeah, I probably did.
Was Amy in bed with me last night? What's going on?
It's likely, and I still will have no idea, because I also sleep like a log. Like, I can sleep anywhere. If you say, all right, go to sleep, I'll be like, okay, and I'm out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I won't wake up.
I can't do that. I am very much, if there is someone who's not meant to be in my room, is in my room, that's it.
You have
awake.
Fallen asleep on the phone to us many times, and we have talked about you while you're there. We know you're sleeping, and you have not waked up at all. No.
Oh, actually, I have, but then I'm like, oh, yeah, they're still talking shit. And then I've just drifted back off to sleep again. But
when
also,
did you not talk shit?
I've been very drunk at those stages, too. So falling asleep or passing out is.
You put it in there twice, but that's okay.
No, I don't know what happened.
Who's in that picture?
Okay, so hang on a second. I am going to talk about. It's called the Black Monk House.
Oh, okay. So this is the next one. Okay.
This is the next one. So unassuming regular house, right?
Yeah, it's way less slanty than the last one.
Yeah. So I really only wanted to do a little quick chat about this one.
Okay.
So
I'm pretty much just reading word for word off what it was, which was the Sun UK News Company. I got this article from. So the Black Monk House, Jean and Joe Pritchard moved into this unassuming house with their two kids, their son Philip at 15 and daughter Diane at 12 years of age in 1966. So the house is, it gave me the address, which is 30 Eastern Drive in Yorkshire, in Chequerfield Estate, East Yorkshire.
Yes, very posh, yes.
Yeah,
it sounds so posh.
It's just a regular-looking house.
Yeah, it does.
So soon after they moved in, the house became the infamous Black Monk House of Pontefract. But, yeah, it was the same year that the family moved in, all the paranormal activity started happening in the house. So water started forming pools. Furniture was overturning. Lights were turning off and on again. That just sounds like a pain in the ass children to me, but their kids were kind of teenager-ish.
I was going to say, but he had teenagers. There's lots of unexplained shit you find when you have teenagers.
True. Pictures were slashed, objects levitated, moved, or just disappeared, and foul smells travelled through the house. Also, heavy breathing could be heard from coming from nowhere. So, spooky goings-on. I like that term, which I had to put it in there. So it was happening frequently, and it became more frequently with this mysterious black hooded figure who started appearing. So the parents, Joe and Jean, were the first to come fully in contact with this spirit.
That's interesting, because normally, sorry to interject, but like normally it's usually the children that say, this is happening, and the parents go, don't be stupid, that's insane.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it was the parents that first came face to face. They were in bed, and they looked up, and there it was, floating over them, this figure in what looked like a monk's robe.
Oh, that's a demon.
So
that is not a ghost. That is a demon. Ghosts do not float above you.
Well, that kind of stuck, that description, the whole monk robe thing kind of stuck with him.
Oh, no.
So after that, he made many appearances. After that, the whole family ended up witnessing this freaking monk who just started fucking popping out of nowhere, as well as a handful of paranormal investigations, not to mention the police, a local MP, and the vicar.
Yeah.
All witnessed this happenings in the house. And again, it does sound like a bad joke with the police, a local MP, and a vicar. Walked into a house
and there was a gnarly black hooded figure ghost thingy.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is brilliant. So the house has been exercised numerous times.
They got it a treadmill. That's fine.
Yeah, but the ghost wouldn't leave. The investigators did a little bit of background research on the area, and it turns out that the old gallows actually was situated directly across the street from the Black Monk House. They also discovered that a monk had actually been hung at the gallows for the rape and murder of a young girl. The girl herself had been around the same age as Diane, so the daughter, around 12 years old. So they're thinking that it's actually that monk. Apparently in 2016, a group of ghost investigators claim to have snapped the clearest photo yet of the infamous phantom. I will put that photo in the blog for everyone to see, but I will direct Amy and Bianca back up to the photos at the top.
I'm looking.
It's the actual arm. So
I was looking at that and I'm like, what is this? Some stripper just like, look at my tassel.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
So it may look fully solid, but according to the investigators, it was actually more misty than it looks in the photo. Plus, it looks like he's holding like rosary beads.
Yeah, I'm going with stripper tassels.
It does look like he's holding shit, so just saying.
Yeah, it does.
Also, there's another photo above that of a mirror. Now, if you look in the mirror, you can clearly see face, body, and a really bad haircut. Now,
she's rocking that bowl look, isn't she?
I don't know if it was a handheld camera or if it's one of those cameras that they have situated in a certain area. Because I did look at another photo of it, and it was through a doorway. So it could have been, you know, just one of those sensor cameras. That's the one.
Okay.
But, yeah.
It's very clear.
It's very clear. You can clearly see a person in that.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see a black-robed arm in that picture underneath.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go and do tours of this house.
Yeah, I'm in.
But Ouija boards and exorcisms are banned from the property.
Good call. Good call.
Yeah. So I think they still own the house. I'm not too sure. But, yeah, you can go. I don't think you can stay there the night, but you can do a tour there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going to have to do that. So, yeah.
Put it on the list.
That's my extra little bit of the Black Monk House. So, Bianca. You go for it.
Like, I wouldn't say that my house is haunted, the one I'm currently living in, as I think it's just that we pick up, like, as you go through life, it depends on how open you are to these things, to whether they do attach to you or not. But I swear we just bring them home. We go about our life, and all of a sudden we've got a new fucking spirit in the house.
She has someone living in her roof. She just doesn't want to admit it.
There's no manhole, and the roof is tin. I don't know how they're getting in.
Me either, but they're very talented.
So, like, I've walked into my kitchen and found every drawer and cupboard open. I don't know. All I can say is it's probably a spirit, because how else? Yeah, I don't sleepwalk. My daughter doesn't sleepwalk, so that's out. Just random. I've been on the phone to, like, you guys, and there's somehow this, like, black face mask stuff, which was in its squeezy tube on the shelf, was squeezed onto the floor, or somehow was on the floor, and it was walked down the hallway. Like, I was showing you guys, like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was weird.
Yeah. Wow. There was no way that it wasn't myself and it wasn't my daughter. I mean, I was on the phone to you guys. So, spirit? I don't know. Yeah. That's my only explanation to it. Oh, and this other one time, my daughter and I were sitting on the couch. We're just watching TV. And my daughter's like, my arm hurt. And, she pulls up a sleeve and there was this long scratch. How? It was burning. Didn't know. Like, there's no explanation for it. And, yeah, I recently woke up with a scratch on my face. So I didn't match any of my fingernails. It was too thin. I don't know how I got there. So we actually cleanse the house quite often because of this weird stuff. But things fall off shelves and all sorts of stuff. So we cleanse. We have sage and, we do a cleanse. We do try to not cleanse the spirits that we like out. There's one that's attached to an antique porcelain doll of my daughter's, and she's completely harmless, little Adeline. And, we use a spirit box and we actually talk to her. I am that nut.
You are that nut, mate.
I am that nut. No, it's, very interesting. And I could literally go on about all the strange happenings in my life that I have witnessed over the many years, but we don't really have time. And so I'll just have to edit it out and So, look, if anybody wants to discuss paranormal with me, please reach out on our socials or email us at fridaynightwinefight@gmail.com. And I'm happy to be a guest on paranormal podcast too. Reach out. Happy to do it.
Yeah, she's got good stories, mate.
Yeah.
Get around it.
Yeah. So, yes, definitely reach out to me. Happy to be a guest. So, I'll crack into my... It's sacred. I used to not understand how people on horror movies and stuff would buy an obviously haunted house, but $120,000 for a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom Victorian mansion. I'm so fucking down.
Yeah.
These people, like the guy lived in it for 50 years. So down. I'll just walk around, just greeting the ghost like, "Hi, Patricia, you feisty bitch." Like, she could straight up make the walls bleed. Like, and I'd just be like, "Ooh, the natural lighting here in here is just delightful. Isn't it lovely? I love this room." Like, Patricia, I could fucking crawl backwards in the bridge position down the stairs just at me. And I'd be like, "Ooh, isn't that crown moldy? Just, oh, And look at this original woodwork. Oh, don't scratch the floor, my love." And, I'd totally live there. Yeah, I could see it. Yeah. And so that's exactly why I don't blame anybody or my people, the Perrin family, for living in their houses. So the Perrin family is the family that lived in the Conjuring house. I don't know if you guys have seen The Conjuring.
No.
Yeah.
I've tried. I've tried. It's too scary. I'm having a heart attack thinking about it.
I watched all of them. I love them.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, then this will be interesting for you. When The Conjuring was released in 2013, it was met with critical acclaim. Critics everywhere praised it for its all too realistic portrayal of the demonic haunting of the Perrin family in Rhode Island. Most viewers assumed that the movie was nothing but wild imaginings of the director, James Wan. However, the true story of The Conjuring is actually rooted in horrific true experiences of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
I've got a picture of them there. Ed Warren.
They look so much better looking in the movie. Just saying.
They do. They do. Ed Warren is a World War II veteran and former police officer who became a self-professed demonologist after studying the subject on his own. His wife, Lorraine, claimed to be a clairvoyant and medium who was capable of communicating with the demons that Ed discovered.
Jeez, that's fucking convenient, isn't it? Wow.
That's so cute. They met in a movie theater. Ed, at the time, was a usher, and I can't remember what she did. But, yeah, they met at a movie theater.
Cute. And
that's a bit cute. So in 1952, Ed and Lorraine founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, the oldest ghost hunting group in New England. They quickly gained notoriety as respected paranormal investigators after their initial investigation of the Amityville hauntings. And there is a featurette that I highly recommend anybody goes and finds and watches. There's bits and pieces of it on YouTube, and it is very, very interesting. But I did not cover their Amityville house tonight. Lorraine was a consultant on the Conjuring film franchise and claims that she didn't let the directors take any more dramatic license than was necessary. So it was as close to the truth as can be.
Nice.
Yeah, and I can't get through it. I've tried and I'm too scared. Just too scared. Well, I start crying. I get the scared.
When we're allowed to do, you know, people visiting, I'll come over and we can sit there with a blankie and watch it.
Yeah, like we did for Insidious.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one either.
Ooh, that one's also good.
Yeah, that's good. The first time you watch it, it's good. I've watched it many times now, so every time I watch it, I get less and less scared.
Still yeah. Creepy, so.
Oh, you watch the first one and it's just a bit like, what the fuck is going on? And then the second one, and that gives you like a backstory to the first one, and you're just like, whoa, that was when that was happening. Oh, God.
Questions answered.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, so good. And it just answered its own questions. It's just a great series. Anyway, back to the true story of The Conjuring, the Perrin family. So I've got a picture of the girls. And the mother, and I'll put them in the blog. So in December of 1970, the Perrin family of northwestern Rhode Island was in dire need of a home for the growing family. Roger and Carolyn Perrin, together with their five young daughters, found the perfect, quite overly spacious 10-bedroom farm-style house situated in the village of Harrisville that is found within the town of Burrillville. Carolyn refused to move at Christmas and wanted to wait until the first week of January 1971 to move the family so that their new year could start with a new home. Everything seemed so picturesque to the parents that at that moment that it would be hard to imagine years later when eldest daughter Andrea would be asked just how soon after moving in did paranormal activity start? Her answer, 5 minutes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ghosts waste no time.
They waste none.
Yeah.
And you'd think they would just sort of let them have a little bit of time to get a little bit too comfortable, because what else are ghosts doing? Nothing. They got nothing to do.
No. But no. See that many kids? Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
No, I have that many kids in my house.
There's 10 fucking bedrooms. I mean, the kids get 5, the parents get 1. There's still at least 4 bedrooms. The ghosts can have those rooms.
No.
Oh,
kids
no.
Are noisy. He didn't want them.
Yeah. No. So moving day for the parents came with a terrible snowstorm. So there was a flurry of snowflakes and tightly packed boxes in constant motion. Amongst all this commotion, former owner, Mr. Kenyon, was moving the last of his belongings out of the house as another stiff-looking gentleman observed him. The eldest daughter, Andrea, was tasked with taking a box to her mother in the kitchen, only to ask who the man was that was standing behind Mr. Kenyon. Caroline sweetly informed her daughter that nobody was there, like nobody was in the area with him, and she was seeing things. Her other siblings, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April, they all come into the kitchen with their boxes and very pale expressions on their faces. When asked why they all looked troubled, they meekly offered, "The man in the living room with Mr. Kenyon just disappeared." So, yeah, that's day one. As if daytime paranormal activity wasn't enough, the children began experiencing phenomena at night. Amongst the most terrifying occurred when one of the littlest girls, Cindy, within the first week, she was awoken to the sound of whispers all over her bedroom. Alone in the dark, she bolted down the hall to her sister Andrea's room and asked if she could stay in there. When asked what was happening, Cindy explained that there were people whispering all over her room and she got scared. Feeling safe with Andrea, she told her big sister that all the whispering voices said the exact same thing. There are 7 dead soldiers buried in the walls. Yeah. There's actually, like, hasn't been proven that there's anything in the walls. So don't know why. Nobody knows why that was said. She could have heard that it could have been someone saying something else because she was scared. That's what she thinks she heard. She's very young. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, my kid hears the wrong thing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Put on your shoes. I got my coat. Oh.
No, mate. Far out. Yep. I live that every day. Yeah. Yeah. Go do this. I've done this. I would have asked. Fuck.
Yeah, so who knows? Roger and Caroline were also becoming slowly exposed to the increasing paranormal activity within the home. Caroline herself had become, if anything, subject to more playful form of activity involving a broom. While tidying up any room adjacent to the kitchen, she would often hear the strong sweeping sound of broom bristles against the tiled kitchen floor. She would check the kitchen, find nobody there, just the broom leaning against the wall. Caroline would then disappear only moments later to hear the sound again, and she'd go and check, only the broom would be on the other side of the kitchen.
Personally, I think that's telling her that she needs to do a better job sweeping the floor.
Well, look, if the spirit's in there, just making, you know, sweeping away, just clean the floor yourself. Like, just do it. Don't move the broom. Sweep it up. All
creepy and shit. Yeah. I don't care. Just if you're going to fucking distract me from what the other thing I'm doing, fucking make yourself useful and fucking do a good job. Jesus Christ.
Roger noticed the uptick in chatter amongst his daughters about the spirits they saw in the house. And so that warranted him having a deeper look into the past of the house. So what they found was the house was initially constructed in 1736, predating the Revolutionary War by 40 years, making it a true colonial era home, owned by 8 generations of an extended family over many decades. Light history, so not a deep dive, wasn't fuzzy tail deep. So light history into the home revealed no sinister occult practices or deaths. The parents naturally reached a breaking point in 1973. Husband and wife, paranormal investigator duo, Ed and Lorraine Warren, were brought in to help. Lorraine was a self-professed clairvoyant who is reported to have picked up on the name Bathsheba in connection with the supernatural activity. Now, investigating Bathsheba, it turned out to the closest they could find was Bathsheba Sherman. And she was a local woman who, despite never lived on that property, had developed an ominous reputation during the mid-1800s. Her baby had been found dead with a sewing needle jammed into the base of its skull.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. The ritualistic overtone and morbidity of the infanticide. I said it right the first time. Let me have some wine. So that actually had her thoroughly questioned by law enforcement, but she was never charged with the crime. Needless to say, in this small hamlet, the association with her child seemed to have unfairly tainted her name. Mm. Yeah. Wah. Yeah. The true reason behind the infant's death was never discovered. Yeah. Needless to say, this name kept appearing in Lorraine's clairvoyance. Added to the scenario was the twisted demonic appearance of an entity in the form of a woman in blackened clothing with a foul smell, sharp jagged teeth, and a head cruelly twisted off to the side of her neck that appeared with frequency to the parents' children. So more the children saw it more than the adults. Some paranormal theorists long believe that Bathsheba Sherman was responsible for the activity on the parents' family property. And, she was the ghastly figure that the children kept seeing. However, there is never a formal connection at any time tying Bathsheba to the historical Arnold farm. Ed and Lorraine Warren were able to secure a Catholic priest to come and formally bless the house and Caroline in particular, because she had suddenly started wearing vintage turn-of-the-century dresses for no reason. And she started using an archaic language for no reason. Like, it's...
Style of the term.
She probably found
the '70s.
She probably found some cool shit in the attic and had the shits with her five kids and her husband. She probably just wear baddie. I would too.
I don't think so, but yeah. In Lorraine.
Oh, that try and be retro.
I suppose that would be retro for the time.
If you found cool shit in your attic. In your mansion that you've just bought for some ridiculous tiny sum, I'd wear that shit too.
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's like cosplay. Totally get into that.
Well, Ed Lorraine believed that she was not being possessed, rather oppressed, which is a smaller demonic foothold that can lead to possession. What that basically does is it involves emotionally wrecking a person coupled with slight physical disturbances in an effort to funnel them into possession. It's the same as like people who generally become possessed. They don't sleep. So when you're sleep deprived, your mind is a lot more mushy and it's a lot more susceptible to persuasion. So you're easier to become possessed. And that's basically what this demon was trying to do.
The hard way to possession.
Yeah. However, like the blessing from this priest did nothing. And it quickly turned into a seance.
Yeah. That escalated quickly.
It did escalate quickly. Yeah. So the priest basically tried to use religious provocation to draw whatever demon entity lurked in the home out. Just power of Christ compels you to vanquish it from the physical world.
And an old send priest it, and a young priest. Yeah.
And some hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. The seance was performed in the dining room with Caroline present before long, a spiritual doorway was opened up, and whatever entity came through had evil intentions. You just don't mess with, you don't do a seance, you don't use Ouija boards. There's nothing good ever comes from any of these things. And so this entity came through and it set its sights on Caroline, and soon she was possessed briefly for a few minutes. She was speaking in an unidentified language. Her eyes maliciously rolled around. Without warning, her body began to levitate inches off the ground before bending in half, and she was thrown, it's in an estimated 20 feet. Nobody got a tape measure it out and actually measured it, but she was thrown into the other room. Yeah. So when she was tended, whatever possessed her briefly left, and it set its sights on the other spirits in the home. The pair and daughters often mentioned the spirits they'd seen and heard speak, but the powerful entity that it came through in the seance actually subdued all the other spirits in the house.
Oh, yeah. Scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, this is my house now. Yeah. There, yeah, get the fuck out.
Sometimes, guys, it's better the spirit you know. So if there's something fucking with your house, just seriously think, is it that bad? if it's not that bad, just leave the fuck alone, because worse things come.
Well, after the seance, like, nearly a year passed without any activity because that other energy just fucked everybody else off. But then late one night, the eldest daughter, Andrea, found her mother rambling in the parlor area. And what she saw was her Caroline had walked into the dining room. So her mum had walked into the dining room. And there was a large family in the late 18th century clothing seated around the dining room table eating, like just a normal meal. Their spirits bristled and like just did their thing, ate without any odd behavior until a man seated at the table turned his gaze to Caroline and nudged the people at the table, pointing at her. Their faces expressed total shock, and before long, they all just faded away. One of the most unknown aspects of this now modern haunting had been revealed to Caroline, that their home stood trapped on some sort of supernatural portal. So what had happened was she saw the family back in time, and the family back in time saw her in the future simultaneously.
So the haunted became the haunter.
Yeah, like, yeah, basically like, you know, the movie The Others. Do you guys remember that one? She was a ghost all along.
Yeah, yes. I feel like I watched that and then deleted it from my brain because I thought it was shit.
It wasn't so great, but I remember it.
Yeah, so it's basically like that. So it was two parallel times meeting at once. And it just, yeah, it's just, oh, no, that's just
freaky. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, people have always wondered, why did they live there so long? They lived there for 10 years. With all these spirits and everything that went on, they lived there 10 years.
Okay,
so can I move out?
They actually had, they were very, very poor. They couldn't move. It was either live there or be homeless.
Can I ask a question? So hang on a minute. They had the seance and this big scary fucker has come through.
Yeah.
And he's silenced all the other annoying fuckers.
Yeah.
Then Carolyn has this experience where she becomes the ghost of Christmas future, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then what happens after that? Do they go back to normal or do they just have random shit happen every couple of years until they can finally move out? What happened?
Yeah. It's just random shit just keeps happening. So it's like, yeah, they just have these weird portals that open up and they just see shit.
Nice.
So other than that, was there anything else?
No. Like, well, no.
Were people harmed?
In the beginning, initially, yes. And especially if you watch the movies, you'll see what happened.
But after they opened whatever the fucking thing they opened and the big cunt come through, after that, nothing. They just saw things.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, like, I mean, for those 10 years, there wasn't actually much that I could find other than what was in the movies. It didn't seem like there was much at all. Like, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when they moved, nothing followed them. After about a year of moving, Lorraine contacted them for the possibility of them telling their story for a book. And Caroline insisted that her and her family moved on and they were starting over, but she promised to discuss it with her husband and said that she'd call back the next day and let her know. Then Caroline went to do the family's laundry in her new house, and suddenly the laundry room door came off its hinges and fell and hit her from behind. She had a bit of a concussion and dislocated shoulder, but she was fine otherwise.
Fuck, it didn't just fall, it fucking smacked her.
Yeah. So Lorraine called back the next day to see if Caroline, if she has talked over with her husband and did she want to do the book. And no. Yeah, she was like, Caroline was like fearful that reminiscing about it would bring it all back because, she's just like, no, I think I'm done with that. I'm not talking about it. Once you start talking about it, it all comes back. And that is true. You stop talking about it, you stop noticing it. A lot of the time spirits do go away because you're not acknowledging their existence.
They get bored.
They do, yeah. Yeah, so I think I need to watch the movie again. I have tried twice. I can't. Yeah, it's so scary. Oh, God. I just.
It's not that scary.
Yeah. And I know, like, I know the actors, the movie, but it just feels too real. And now that I know most of it was real, I'm just like, oh, dang. Oh, dang. I don't know if I can.
Dang, flat it.
Yeah. And like, I just want to say, if anybody is thinking of looking up the address, it is out there on the internet. And if you're thinking of visiting the house, please respect the current owners. So it's changed hands after the parents. Another family bought it and they lived there for a bit. And then it was sold in 2017 for $600,000. And yeah, so the people who bought it back then, they're living in it now. They don't, it's not a ghost house. You cannot go and do tours. They live there. There's no, yeah, they don't want people just coming up to the house. So please don't.
Yeah.
Just leave them alone. Can you please respect them?
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually get a lot of looky-loos and it's just not fair. So, yeah, I just want to do a bit of PSA. Just leave them alone.
That like, there's normal people. That goes for all haunted houses as such.
If
people own them and they're renting them out as like, a funny, scary place to spend the night or they're doing ghost tours and stuff like that, sure, go and pay the rest to them. It's fine. But if they were still private home, have some respect. And, I know you want to go and have a look. But seriously, guys, it's somebody else's home. And as mentioned earlier, some people who are just not in tune to this sort of stuff would not notice a single thing.
Yeah.
Literally would move in there and go, I don't know what everyone else was on about. This is fine.
Yeah.
So, and these people may be of that nature. Just leave them alone. Don't be assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the hard thing. Like a lot of these houses, the Amityville house and this house too, it's yeah, like they're private residences and they're not you're set up for tours and they're not anything like that. And
well, the Amityville house, I read an article once saying that the person who'd owned it at the time, they actually did a full facelift on the front of the house because it had been publicized so much what the front of the house looks like that they decided to change the front of it so that when people walked past, even with the address, they'd go, oh, that's not the house. And then they leave them the fuck alone.
Yeah, and with the Amityville house, they petitioned the local council. They actually got the address changed.
Oh, yeah, I read that too.
Mm. Yeah.
Because clearly whoever lives there now, they are not having any issues. Leave them alone.
Yeah, yeah. And when I was looking at this house, there's just the amount of people like, oh, yeah, I went there. I'm just like, why?
I kind of get driving past.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, like the stars' homes in Hollywood and stuff like that. Get on that bus, pay your $6 and, tip your tour director or whatever it is when you're in America, sure. But don't go up there and ring freaking, like, somebody's doorbell. Like, they're people too. Leave them alone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and look, if you're having problems with ghosts in your house, who are you going to call?
Not me.
Leave them alone.
And don't call me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, call me. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll bring wine. And
call me and we can do like a little investigation with, low-level cameras and wine.
Yeah, and my ghost communicator. Yeah, so we'll do that.
All right, well, if you guys are bringing wine, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, definitely. Yeah. So, yes, that's the Conjuring House.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Amy, what have you got for us, Miss Skeptic?
Yeah. I, for the most part, tend to be, as Bianca described, a skeptic. Yeah. I tend to be a bit of an asshole about it too when I'm being my skeptic self.
Yeah.
I just tend to shoot down things. And I tried really hard not to just tear apart everything that everybody else has said with logic. So because I'm respecting what this is. And to be honest, like I think that for a lot of people, they get caught up in this idea of a haunting. So their brains interpret information that they're witnessing or have witnessed as something supernatural. The lady with the broom in the Conjuring House. If you had to tell me, hand on your heart, swear to whatever it is, where's your broom? I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
I know where mine is.
I know where it is in the room, like in the laundry. I know where it is. Where did you position it last? I could have picked it up 2 seconds ago and I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know that it's been moved.
I was watching this video. Oh, God, I was laughing my ass off. They're just like, people who have undiagnosed ADHD must think that they are, their house is possessed by spirits. Because I just walked into my bathroom and found my milk. And I was like, wait, I was making myself a coffee and then remembered I need to brush my teeth. So that's why the milk's in here.
And my mum, my beautiful mother, bless her soul, she's a bit of a scatterbrain, to say the least. Hi, Mom. I know you're actually listening at the moment. So, yeah. I've found keys in the freezer growing up. I've found shit in places.
Vegemite in the fridge. I don't know why my dad put it there. Why? Who knows?
Not your brain. Yeah, I've found some stuff. I've also had a lot to do. Not that I had a lot of small children in my house. It was only me and my brother, and we're a year and a half apart. But I had younger cousins. I've found some things. We lost a video. Does anyone else remember VHS videos? Yeah. We lost a DVD, a video once and could not find it, tore the house apart, couldn't find it. Found it 3 weeks later when someone turned the grill on because one of the small children had put it in the grill.
Yeah. As you do.
And you know why? When this small child was asked why, I was posting my letter.
Oh,
you did it. That doesn't surprise me.
After recording, I'm going to try and guess which one that was.
They were posting a letter. Yeah. Anyway, however, I actually do believe in the spirit world to some point. In fact, over the years, I've had my own encounters with spirits. My mother and my father both claim that they used to see a little boy who was about 5 or 6 years old in both of the houses I grew up in. One night I was at home and in my house that I live in now, and I was walking out of the bathroom only to feel something that I can only just describe as a presence, and it was big, it was huge, and it just ran past me, and I just went, whoa, like it actually made me do a double take, and I was just like, Jesus, what was that?
Yeah.
Thinking it actually might be the ghost of my father, because my dad was quite a solid, tall individual. Yeah. He's kind of a big bloke. Yeah, I asked someone I know who's frequented my house quite a bit and who's also spiritually inclined that if my dad was there, and she said no, but there is a little boy. I'd never told her about this little boy, ever. Never told her, and she told me that there was this little boy there. Yeah. And so it doesn't explain what I experienced with whatever big was rushing past me. I don't know. That doesn't explain it. But she told me that the little boy is there. And it makes me feel kind of nice, though, because he decided that, like, after the moves and everything else, he followed our family. But he stuck with me, which is really nice. And I've asked my daughter about it. My daughter's had a few instances as well with past members of my family, which I'm not going to go into now. But I asked her about the little boy. She's never seen him. Doesn't know what I'm talking about. Thinks I'm crazy. Yeah. So I've never heard, like, it's not like a stereotypical horror movie where I hear the toys go off in the middle of the night. No. The only time I've ever heard a toy go off in the middle of the night is because the batteries were running low. And that's what they're programmed to do. It's not spirits. It's logic.
Yeah, but it's creepy.
It's creepy. Yes.
Fucking creepy as all hell.
It's creepy when you take the batteries out and they still fucking do it.
Okay, that's different. Yeah. And burn it.
Yeah.
Burn it. Burn it, burn it. Anyway, I am a little bit spiritually inclined in that sense. I do believe that there is a world, but I think that we have a lot more control over it than what horror movies and these paranormal investigators would like us to think. So, and I also do think that there are people that will never, ever experience anything like this, not because for some reason they're just dead against it or anything like that. It just doesn't happen to them. And that there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not saying you must have a ghost, you know, presence or something like that in your house by the time you reach 50 or you're the devil. No, I'm not going to say any of that. I'm just going to say I feel like it's out there. But if you're not inclined or you just flat out go, no, it's not happening, probably won't happen to you.
Yeah.
So that's and, my take on it.
Yeah. And like, the other thing is too, like, most of the time, like, these people go and investigate and it's always a ghost from freaking 1100 and something, or the, it's always a really old ghost. People have been dying for a very long time. Like, where's the ghost from 2007 just going, it's Britney, bitch?
Yes. There's a whole movement about that. It's called hashtag Free Britney. I feel like people should go and look that up.
Yeah.
That's probably where the ghosts are.
Yes.
Yeah, hashtag Free Britney. She's the ghost of pop stars past.
Yes. Yeah. Her soul.
Yeah, cool. I know. Bless her soul. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so tonight I am not going to talk about a haunted house in which I lived in. I'm going to discuss something else. I started trawling the internet trying to find, as my typical take on all of these things that Sarah and Bianca are so heavily invested in, and I am so very not, I tried to find the funny. Couldn't find funny because people take this shit way too seriously for me. So I actually found Australian haunted house, and it's called the Monte Cristo Homestead, which is in Junee in New South Wales. So hello to our friends in New South Wales. Stay the fuck home, but yeah, hello.
Enjoy your lockdown. Isn't it fun?
Love you.
Your harsh lockdown. Where's your curfew? Come on.
Well, in all seriousness, shout out to our listeners in New South Wales. We have noticed that a few people have started listening from New South Wales because you got nothing better to do. So, yeah, represent y'all. Thank you for listening. Anyway, so I'll start telling you about this particular home. So apparitions, strange orbs, poltergeists, phantom noises are all attributed to the tragic history of this isolated house on a hill overlooking the town of Junee. So it was built by a farm owner named Christopher Crawley in 1884, so 100 years before I was born. The house passed to his wife, Elizabeth Crawley, on his death in 1910. William died at the home in 1910 of heart failure and blood poisoning caused by a boil on his neck.
Ew. Nope.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's probably because he went to the doctor and he's like, I've got this thing on my neck. And the doctor's just like, oh, that looks terrible. Here's some cocaine.
I was just about to say, here's some cocaine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or typical of that era and his gender, his wife was probably going, you need to go and get that checked. Yeah, I'll get around to it. You really need to go and get that checked. Yes, woman, stop bothering me. I'll get it checked. And then just never did. Yeah.
Probably just a gummy bear. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So Elizabeth passed away in 1933. Between Elizabeth and William, they had 7 children together.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so insane people.
Too many.
Too many kids, right? Get a TV. Oh, no, wait, they went about it.
Get some Velcro on your knees. You hear the sand stop.
Yeah. Right? Anyway, there is conflicting reports about a death of a baby in the homestead. This is the first death that I could find, sort of, because there's conflicting reports, as I said. Anyway. Unfortunately, what happened was the baby died when a maid dropped the baby girl down the stairs after what she says was supernatural forces made her do it. She said it was almost like they ripped it out of her hands and threw it down the stairs.
That's
what she said. Ah. And however, when I was looking into this, I was trying to find a little bit more information about it. One website actually said that it was actually the granddaughter of Elizabeth and William Crawley that happened to. It wasn't the daughter. I couldn't find too much about this. So, yeah, look.
Oh, okay.
Pretty horrific. Yeah. Either way, pretty nasty. Yeah. So, anyway, so going back to Elizabeth and William. So, after William died, unable to get over her husband's death, Elizabeth spent the rest of her life as a recluse. She converted the upstairs box room into a chapel and immersed herself into the Bible. She allegedly only left the house twice after his death, after William's death. And apparently it was because, and then when she died, sorry, apparently it was from a ruptured appendix. So she was also not going to the doctor when something was wrong. Yeah. I feel like this is a common thing. Anyway, Mrs. Crawley's ghost is said to haunt her former home, and the thing that sets you off to know that it's Mrs. Crawley, amongst heaps of other ghosts I'll talk about, apparently you know it's Mrs. Crawley because you get that really ice cold air, like when you're the snow, you feel that in the room.
I get like that in my house. I stand in front of the heater and it just walks past me. And I'm like, shoo, 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 I'm in front of the heater for a reason.
Yeah. apparently that's specifically Mrs. Crawley. So anyway, a chain of violent events in the house have triggered other supernatural incidents. So I'll tell you a few more gory things about what's happened in this house. So a maid once plummeted to her death from an upstairs balcony. And now a figure of a woman in a period dress can be seen walking along the veranda to the blood-stained steps where she fell. Apparently, there is still a bleach stain where they tried to remove all of her blood on the ground from where she went splat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, gross. Anyway, it's speculated, though, that she was actually pregnant to her boss, William Crawley. And some people have even suggested it was Mrs. Crawley that freaking pushed her.
Possibly. Probably. Yeah.
This is a particularly horrible one. Trigger warning for y'all. There's a story of a stable boy who was burned to death in his bed at the hands of his master.
Wow.
He's thought to haunt the coach house. Apparently, he called in sick. Literally, he lived on the property. Called in sick from work, said he was really sick, and the master of the house decided to go over to where he was sleeping on a mattress of hay. Yeah, poor boy. And just set him on fire. Yeah.
Wow.
I tried to dig into this a little bit more, and it turns out I couldn't find out too much about this, and I think it's because the house has only changed hands so many times. So if you read between the lines, I'm pretty sure this was Mr. Crawley that did it. But then again, they said it was his master. So that also could have been another servant.
Yeah, there would have been a stable master.
Yeah.
If he was the stable boy, there would have been a stable master. Yeah.
Essentially, I don't know. So it could have been Mr. Crawley. It doesn't actually specifically say who did it, but they said that the person said that they didn't mean to kill him. They just thought that if they flick a match onto this mattress and it goes up in flames, that would get the lazy asshole out of bed. He was that sick, though, he couldn't move, and he just screamed until he died.
Oh, poor thing.
But at what point, when the kid's not moving, do you not go, oh, shit, and grab the poor bastard?
Yeah, but hay goes up real quick. There probably wasn't any time. It could have been a practical joke. It could have been just gone wrong.
I know. Like, I just would have thought at some point you're like, shit, this kid's not moving. Got to do something. Especially if, like, he screamed. Like, anyway, it's horrible. So moving on. The next one's even more disturbing, so another trigger warning. So one of the most disturbing stories about this mansion, homestead situation is the story of Harold Steele. Now, one website theorizes that Harold was actually the illegitimate son of William Crawley.
Okay.
Yeah. Another says it was Christopher Crawley, one of the kids. So there's a lot that goes around this. I'm not 100% sure exactly what the truth is. Someone will correct me. So if someone actually looks into this, please correct me. Please reach out. Hit me up, because I do want to actually talk to somebody who knows something about this house, because it's very interesting. Anyway, Harold developed a mental illness after a carriage accident in Junee. And as a result of his uncontrollable aggressive behavior, he was actually chained to the back of the cottage for more than 30 years. Yeah, he was chained there, because he was just a bit mental after the accident. After all those years, he ended up with dreadlocked hair, and he used to howl through the night. He used to howl through the night, and like the local school children used to dare each other to run up to the property and like harass him. It was horrible.
Oh, like, yeah, it's like freaking Beau Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after he'd been there for 30-odd years, he was found curled up at the feet of his mother's dead body. So she was obviously still living there. So, and no one really knows how long the mother had been there dead, but he didn't raise an alarm or anything like that, because he's probably not mentally capable of doing that. He used to just curl up next to her and go to sleep. It's just so sad. And when they found the body, they said that she'd clearly been there for a long time. So.
Woof.
Yeah, poor kid. So, yeah. Anyway, apparently he was taken to a home for the insane after they found that his mother had passed away, because no one else wanted to look after him in the house, because he was the servant boy, or the servant's child. So apparently now around the property, you can hear the sounds of clanking chains. And apparently that, you know, then that's Harold coming. Yeah.
Ugh.
So just to recap, really, really cold. That's Mrs. Crawley. Sounds of screaming. That's the boy that got set on fire. And the clanking of the chains. That's Harold. Yeah.
Right.
Another really sad thing that happened in recent years. It was 1961. A caretaker was actually shot on the property by a boy who lived in the town, and he was in fact inspired by the film Psycho. So this kid had been watching Alfred Hitchcock's movie The Psycho, and he watched it three times, and then just decided to march up there and shoot the caretaker. The words "Die, Jack, ha ha," was carved into the shed door, still there.
Oh, right. No. That is creepy as shit.
It's creepy as shit. Anyway, after about the 30s and the 40s, the property changed hands a few times and then fell into the hands of Olive and her husband, Reg Ryan.
Yep.
And they purchased the property in 1963. So one of the interesting experiences they had while living on the property was that their entire house was lit up, like all the lights were on, but there was no electricity plugged into the property at that point.
Right.
Fun time. So Olive and Reg's son, Lawrence Ryan, now owns and runs the property. So he has now turned it into an attraction for day tours. So it's not just a ghost place. Like, people actually want to go and have a look because it is a beautiful old stately home.
Mm.
And it has been very well maintained over the years. So people do want to actually go and have a look. But then it's also available at night for ghost tours because, obviously, after listening to all of that, who's not going there now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, when we can cross the border again, I am so down.
New South Wales is not on fire anymore. We're in. Road trip. So for those who crave this experience, it will cost you $12 to visit the Monte Cristo. And then dinner tours cost $125. Sleepover tours are $195 each, and they include breakfast and dinner. Sign
me. I'm doing that. Yeah.
Sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. So, yeah, that's my little haunting. I've saved a couple of websites that I'm going to put on the blog so that you can piece together your own bits and pieces about this particular property. And, yeah, let me know what you think. If anybody else digs up things or I've got things backwards, please let me know because, yeah, this was a really interesting little find. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'll add a couple more in. There's the Black Rock House, which is in Victoria. That does ghost tours, and that has a bit of a history as well. Point Cook also has a ghost tour, and what was it called? I think it was Bendigo, Fortuna Villa, which is also like a stately home that has quite a long history for Victoria.
Not to mention, pretty much every pub in Ballarat claims they've got a ghost.
Yeah. Well, this Fortuna Villa is now also a restaurant that does ghost tours as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was built by one of Australia's first deep miners. So it was during the gold rush, and he had property, and he was a gold miner, and yeah, he started, you know, digging real deep into the ground for it.
Diggers be digging, mate.
Yeah, until he sold up. He had his money, he sold up, and then next guy. And, yeah, they extended it. It reminded me of the story of the Winchester House, how it just kept getting built and built, kept getting bigger. But, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, no, the Winchester House is also a good one.
Yeah, I tossed up whether to do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners out there would also like us to cover a haunted house that they know of or have some interesting historical tidbits, we would love to hear them because it could manifest itself into an episode, which we love suggestions of that nature. So go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Whew. No, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to do the Monte Cristo.
Doing that. Road trip.
Cold spots, chains,
bleach flat.
Smell a strong urine because Bianca's pissed herself. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Mixed with wine because Amy accidentally dropped her wine on Bianca. Whoopsie.
Yeah. Oh, look, the blood spot is still there on the stairs. No, I'm just clumsy as shit.
The walls are bleeding. No, I tripped over and my wine went. I'm licking it off as we speak. Calm down. Don't waste that shit. Get a sponge. What's wrong with you?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, I had so much fun researching this topic, which so did you guys. Yes. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. It was, good topic. And yes, listeners, if you want us to do another one, let us know. Just hit us up at FridayNightWifi@gmail.com or on our socials. If you don't know what they are by now, where have you been? So to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our rubbish, especially you, New South Wales. We hope that you have found it entertaining in your isolation. And don't use any of the facts discussed. Just research it yourself. don't use them to make important decisions. Go to our blog for the links, all that good stuff.
And pictures.
Yeah, and pictures. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And accompanying to this episode.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.